session number 24908, reel 6.
Do whatever you like with. But that was a bit, be alright if you was on a diet, I suppose, that way.
Any other memories of that ship?
Well, on there, you didn't have a laundry. Like on the Belfast, you had a laundry. You could send your stuff to the laundry. The Chinese used to run it. And, you know, a lot of stuff, if you didn't want to do it yourself, they'd do it all for you, but, you know, but you had to pay. But normally, you know, you want to scrub your hammock, you've done it yourself down in the bathroom, you know, or you do your own dobing in a bucket if you wanted to, if you wanted to save money, you know, or you could send it there and it all come back pressed and ironed, you know. But on a little destroyer, you didn't. You used to do your dobing in a bucket and go down and hang it in the boiler room to dry, you know, and bring it up and iron it. You used to go and get an iron and do it all yourself.
What you've talked about doing these experiments and testing various paints and things out. What are other duties did you undertake on the destroyer?
Well, more or less just the upkeep, as I told you, go up and keep the ice down, you know, didn't want to get too much ice up on the rigging and that, with it going at high speed, you know, you're getting more spray up on the deck and more. The ice was freezing, you know, even though it was salt water, still freezes.
And how was the ice removed?
Just go around and bang it with something, you know, just kick it and shovel it off the deck and shovel it over the side. That's more or less what it was.
And which sort of ports did you visit during your time on that one?
We only went into Spitsbergen to get some fuel, that's all. And we called in Stavanger and Oslo as well. We called in a couple of ports on the way back, you know, just to go ashore for a drink and that.
How did the recreational facilities compare with Belfast?
Didn't get a lot, really. No, you didn't get much time, you know. Could hardly get a football team up or anything like that. I mean, what we normally, mostly I used to do was go sailing. One of the Killicks, you know, he used to go and ask if they could get a whaler, right? And about five of us used to jump in a whaler and then go for a sail, you know, go for a sail round. And we went to Casablanca on it. And they went ashore in the whaler, but it was a bit, they didn't realise it's, they went ashore, good, yeah, but when they went to come back, there was these great big rollers, and because they couldn't get through them, so they had to send the ship's motorboat. They moored there, you know, that they were stuck there, and they sent a motorboat in to, you know, to pull them off, because they couldn't get through these big heavy surf rollers coming in. Every time they started to get away from the beach, they'd get, you know, rolled back again.
John Rolat, reel 6. You mentioned Casablanca a moment ago. How long were you in that part of the...
We was in there for a week. About a week in Casablanca, yeah.
And did you spend much time in the Mediterranean?
Used to go to Malta and Gibraltar quite a bit, yeah. Exercising with the Home Fleet, you know, after Home Fleet was doing an exercise. We'd go into there. And we used to go into Gibraltar and because you could go across into Spain, but a lot of the time there we couldn't go over because apparently some British sailors went over there and the palace guard, they've got like skirts on, and apparently they went and debagged them and they stopped all the British servicemen going over there for quite a while. But you could go to the British Army barracks there and they would let you change in their barrack room in the civvies, and then you could go across into Spain and come back again. But you couldn't go over there in uniform.
How did the discipline on the ship compare with the Belfast?
I think all discipline on Royal Naval ships is the same, no matter what ship you're on. It's very, very strict discipline on the ship. It's got to be.
Was there more trouble on this ship than on the Belfast?
No, I don't think I can ever think. It might have had a few little punch-ups ashore, you know. Normally with Americans, you know, you tend to punch up with Americans, but other than that, no. I only ever see one fight between two sailors, and that was when I was at Sheerness, and there was two sailors that had a bit of a confab, you know, started and stopped it, and then the GI went and got a pair of boxing gloves and got everybody standing round, and they put the boxing gloves on and said, right, now sort it out. And then they just battled away with each other, and then when one see that one see that one was getting a bit, you know, bit of a battering, they just stopped it and said, right, now shake hands, and that's it, forget it. And that was it. But that was the only one I see.
How long were you on that ship?
A year, 11 months. 11 months on the Corona.
And what happened after that?
After the Corona, I went into the barracks, and then I joined. I was in there for about a week, and then I joined HMS Delight. That was my last ship before I got demobbed.
How long you?
I was on there for about 11 months.
And what sort of ship was that?
That was the new destroyer. Well, they said it could have been classed as a light cruiser, but it was a destroyer.
So it was a bigger ship than the...
more modern. Yes, more modern.
Any recollections about life on board of the HMS Delight?
On the Delight. I can always remember we had... it was a new ship, and we went out to do an exercise, and one of those stays broke away from the deck, which was the mast where it was welded. It's like a tripod, you know, and the welding had snapped and it had come off, so they had to lash it down, so we had to go back in and have it welded again.
Were there any significant differences about life, day-to-day life on board this ship?
No. I think more or less life is all the same, you know. It's bigger or smaller messes, but the routine is all the same. It's still in your watches, you know, and you still have to do the same steering and the cleaning up, and, you know, practicing action stations and doing exercise with other ships and oiling at sea and all different things like that.
When did you leave the Royal Navy?
I left the Royal Navy in 1958, and then I left the Royal Navy in 1955, and then I finished my leave, and then I joined the Merchant Navy.
Did the Navy make any preparations for you leaving?
No, I was rather disappointed with that, because they asked me what I was going to do when I left the Navy, and I told them I was going in the Merchant Navy. And I thought they would have told me that if I went in the Merchant Navy, I would require a steering ticket and a boat ticket if I wanted to be an able seaman. But nobody told me that until I went in and I joined this. When I went to join the Merchant Navy, he said, have you got a steering ticket? And I said, no. A boat ticket? I said, no. So I had to do my time steering a ship in the Merchant Navy, and I'd steered HMS the King George V. Every ship I'd been on, I'd steered. And then I had to go and do it on a merchant ship before I could get a steering ticket.
You say you steered every ship you've been on. Was that just out of choice, or was that something that everyone had a chance to do?
must seem and all that to do it. You know, when you're on watch, duty watch of a night, you go up and do a trick on the wheel. Everybody goes on the wheel. And of course, when I went in the Merchant Navy, they said, oh, you've got to do that certain time on the wheel. And then I had to go to, they said, to get a boat ticket, you'd have to go to London for 2 weeks to learn how to sail a whaler, to rig it and all that. Well, I'd done all that, and I said, well, I'm not going to spend 2 weeks of my time in up in London. I know I can do that. If the necessary come to it, I could do it. And so I had to wait till we come back to Newcastle and go up and do an EDH. That is like a experienced deckhand. I was UDH when I went in the Merchant Navy, unexperienced. You know, I'd been to sea for 7 years, like, but I was unexperienced. And then I had to wait until I'd done the steering on time on the wheel to get that ticket before I could be an EDH.
What did the Royal Navy do to, in preparation for you joining civilian life?
Nothing really. As I've told you, when they did get the scheme going where you could do paint spraying course or do like work on cars, you know, like a mechanic.
Did you do that?
But they didn't have any enough waiting for me to do, so that's why I went to the onto the sports fields.
And what did you do there?
I was driving a tractor, cutting the football pitches and making the white lines, looking after the cricket pitch, you know, handing out the bats and stumps, and in the evenings, you know, tidying up in the naffy. Clearing away, you know, the glasses and putting all the, covering up the billiard tables and things like that. And then when you finish, you used to get a pint of beer before you went.
And so is that how you spent your time the last few weeks in the Navy?
Yes, yes.
I don't know whether this was the case in 1955, but did you still get a demob suit?
Yes, I went to get a demob suit. And got all the like the trilby out and the coat, and I came home with it, and next door to me there was an old age pensioner, and when I got home I knocked on the door and I said, what do you like these? And I gave them all to him. He thought that Christmas had come. Yeah.
Why was that? Was there no great choice of clothes that you could have chosen?
Well, you could have a peak cap or you could add a trilby, you know, and then you had the suits or a coat and trousers, and I thought, well, I'm not going to wear none of that. Because I knew that once I was out, I was going away to sea, so I wouldn't want a trilby out and a suit, would I? So I thought, no, let the old boy next door have it. Went and got myself a bird's eye suit.
Tell me about joining the Merchant Navy. You told me a little bit about
different altogether, you know, as hardly there's no discipline in like there was in the Royal Navy, you know, there's no discipline. Well, there was really, but it was a lot easier, you know. And normally you used to have 3 men in a watch, and then that 3 you had to look after the steering of the ship. And at dusk or in fog, you always had to have a look out on the forecastle. So that, and at night, if you was on the forecastle, every ship you see, every light, you had to ring up. There's a bell on the forecastle, you know. There's a ship, port, one bell, ring it once. And then starboard, 2. And if it's deadhead, 3. And then it'd flash on the masthead light to let you know that he'd heard you. But every ship you had to, you know, ring up.
How did you adjust to the more relaxed lifestyle?
Well, it's lovely because I had a cabin to myself. I had, you know, single cabin. I had a nice bed and a desk, radio, you know, and a walk-in wardrobe, all to myself. Yeah, lovely.
What about meals and laundry and that sort of thing?
Meals, oh yeah, we just the cook on one that I went on, or the chef, he was used to be a chef in the Savoy, and used to go in, and there was, wonder what, where I was on, there was all big trays of hors d'oeuvres before you went in to have your dinner, you know, and I thought, what's all that then? And there was all these trays of hors d'oeuvres, and the grub was marvellous.
And was your laundry done for you, or did you have
your dinner? No, I was doing my own dobing. Used to it, used to get a bucket, that's all. Do my own dobing.
And how long did you remain in the Merchant Navy?
I was in 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. And I thought it was about time I got a job ashore now. And I started at the Shell Oil Refinery. And the man I went for an interview, when I walked in, he said, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I said, "No." And he said, "I know you." He said, "I can remember when you left school, when you came into work at Barr's Shoe Factory." He said, "I interviewed you for a job there." And he got me a job there. He said, "What was your last job?" I said, "You know, I said, well, I've still got it. I'm still in the Merchant Navy." I said, "But I want to come ashore, you know." And he said, "Well, what was your job before that?" I said, "Well, 7 years in the Royal Navy." So he said, "You've had two jobs in more or less 10 years." I said, "Yeah." He said, "All those out there, they've had 10 jobs in 10 months, you know." He said, "We don't want them." And he said, "You know, go and get a medical, and if you pass," he said, "I'll get you a job." He said, "But you'll start as a fitter's mate, but if you want to get on the processing side of it, you know," he said, "when a job comes up, win for it," he said, "and you'll get it." And that's what I've done.
I think you worked there until you took retirement.
Yeah, so 23 years I worked there.
1983, I think you were. You've had some association with Belfast since then.
Yes.
Can you tell me a bit about that?
Well, I was sitting here one day and I see a bloke walk up the path and knock on the door, and I went out there and he said, "You're John Raleigh?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I'm Ted Hill, you know." He said, "I wondered if you've ever thought about anything about, you know, an association with the Belfast, you know." He said, "I'm thinking of getting one up. Would you be interested?" And I said, "Well, come in, but, you know, don't stand on the doorstep." So he came in, and that's where it started. But I'd already been to, I'd see a note in the newspaper somewhere that they was getting a reunion up in Ipswich, if anybody up in Belfast was interested. And about 12 of us turned up. And because from there, you know, I bet two or three of the other blokes, and that's how it's more or less started. And been going up ever since.
I think you were on board when she made a trip up the Thames.
Yes, down the Thames and up. But the phone went one morning, and that was Ted Hill on the phone. And he said, "John, how would you like to sail on the Belfast, you know?" And I'll give him some four-letter words, you know, "What you're doing." And he said, "No, I'm really serious." He said, "When she goes down, we've got to get 6 ex-members that can sail on her down to Greenwich." He said, "And you might have to climb up a Jacob's ladder up the ship side." He said, "And I know you're quite able to do that, you know." He said, "Would you be interested?" I thought Christmas had come early, and I still didn't believe him, but then because I got the papers through and I had to sign a form, you know, relieving them of any, if anything happened, you know what I mean. And yeah, very nice. I enjoyed it.
I think she was actually towed down.
She was towed down the stern, yeah, till she got down to Tilbury, and then they turned around and took her head first, because there was nowhere along there that she could turn round, not safely anyway. Yeah, lovely. And I was there when she came back. I was down at Tilbury when she came back, took photographs of her. She went past Tilbury, I came home, went down the station, caught the train up to London, and I was there when she came through to Tower of London to meet her. One of my other hobbies is putting ships in bottles. And I have got HMS Belfast in the 3.5 litre bottle, and the inside of the bottle is all painted, and there's all mountains, and there's the Belfast in there, and all fancy rope work and ribbon work around the neck. And that is my biggest one, and my smallest one is a ship in a 13 amp fuse. But I've got many other ships in bottles up there, four masters, and I've got a beautiful Thames barge in a demijohn. And I've also got a chip in a bottle.